But I want to share a message with you today. I've been looking forward to as a Father's Day message, but also for everybody here today. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to us today as we share a message out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32, as was read a moment ago. When I was in high school, I lived in Kenner, Louisiana. And I dated, not exactly remember the date, but I can date the time of the experience I want to share with you today. At about the time that I was ready to get my driver's license. It's important to note in the story that I did not have my driver's license yet. But as all 15 years old are wont to do, I wanted my driver's license. I wanted nothing more than to drive a car, to be on my own, to go on all kinds of adventures in my own car. Well, as we lived in Kenner, Louisiana, we lived next door to literally the coolest guy I've ever known. His name was Mr. Nelson. And Mr. Nelson was a perfectly dressed man, perfectly fit. I mean, he was the best looking guy that I would ever see. And every day he would come home from work and get out of his car. And as he was dressed, he looked like he had just left from work, but he'd been at work all day. He wore khaki pants with razor seams ironed into the seams down the pants. He wore loafers, two-tone loafers that not many people wore. And those to me were so very cool. He wore collared golf-type shirts. And if the weather was cool, he would wear the latest fashion trend of the 1970s. Izod sweaters, pullover sweaters, pulled over that golf shirt. Izod was the fashion statement of the day in the 1970s. And every day that he got home from work, he stepped out of that car and was the coolest looking dude I had ever seen. Every hair was in place. He was fit. I mean, he was something out of a men's magazine. And I admired Mr. Nelson. On a regular basis, I would find myself in my driveway at about the time that he got off of work, because not only was he looking like the coolest guy you could ever imagine, he also drove a brand new Corvette. And I remember it as if it was yesterday. It was cream, always shiny, always clean, with a tan leather interior, and it doesn't look very much different than that one right there. And every day that I could find my way to my driveway, I waited for Mr. Larry Nelson to pull up into his driveway. And as he pulled that Corvette into the driveway, he would roar into the driveway and hit the brakes on it and get out of the car and kind of strut to his house. Didn't blame him. I mean, if I drove a car like that, I'd strut a little bit too. And probably on more occasions than I can remember, when he'd get out of that car and walk towards his house, I'd say, "Good afternoon, Mr. Larry Nelson. Really like your car." And I probably said it every day. Because one day, he roared into the driveway. Mind you, I did not have my driver's license yet. He roared into the driveway. He got out of his Corvette. And I said again, "I really like your car, Mr. Nelson." And he said to me, "You want to drive it?" And by the time he had let go of the keys, he had already asked the question. There was no answer that I could come up with as those keys tumbled and tossed what seemed like for a week through the air from his driveway to my driveway and into my hands. And now I am holding the keys to a brand new Corvette. I looked at him, he looked at me, and he turned around and went in his house. And what I did not do was turn around and go ask my mama for permission. I am holding the keys to Mr. Nelson's brand new Corvette. As I was thinking back on this story this week, I almost was thinking that maybe it really wasn't true, but it actually did happen. And so as he went into his house, the last thing he said to me was, "Be careful of the steering, it's a little tight." And I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Nelson, And I coolly as I could be, I coolly made my way to that car as he walked inside the house. I opened that door. I'd never been in a powerful car. I very seldom had driven. And I opened that door and I got behind that wheel and I grabbed that leather-wrapped steering wheel and turned that key and it roared to life like nothing I had ever heard. Well, my first thought was, I've got to go show my friends. I mean, after all, I'm driving in the vet. And so I backed out of that driveway and took off to the corner, hit the stop sign, and then made that left turn going to find my friends in the neighborhood. And when I hit that gas, that Corvette roared like it's supposed to roar, and I was on cloud nine. But then I got to my friend's house, and every single one of my friends was gone somewhere. Nobody was home. And so I politely drove around the neighborhood and had my opportunity to drive in that Corvette. I parked it, brought it back to Mr. Nelson. Thank you very much for allowing me to drive. And it was the ride of my life. Some months later, I did get my driver's license, and I got my very own car. My dad had arranged for me to get my own car, and I just have to tell you, it wasn't a Corvette. In fact, it was my grandmother's 1969 Dodge Dart. It looked just like that. I kind of wish I had it now, but back in the day, it was anything but cool. It was anything but stylish. It was just that color. It had a three on the tree. It had inch-deep gold shag carpet covering the floorboards. It had those Radio Shack radio speakers in the back dash, those 6x9s. And if you put an 8-track tape in the 8-track tape player and turned it up loud, it would distort like nobody's business. But I must tell you, I was able to drive in that car. If you remember Dodges back in the day, it had a slant six engine, and when you hit the ignition, the way it sounded when it started, it would sound like this, hee 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 hee, and it would finally start. It was like it was laughing at me. And so it was a nice vehicle for a 15-year-old, but it wasn't the Corvette. So what's the difference? Here's what I think, dads, and I've been thinking about this all week, and I think it's an important distinction for us to make. I think many of us as dads are driving around in the Dodge Dart. Adequate transportation, nothing special, just trying to get from point A to point B. But when we really want to be a Corvette dad, driving that Corvette lifestyle. You see, when I got my Dart, my Dodge Dart, I didn't go show anybody because it was just an average vehicle. I wanted to show somebody when I was driving in the bed. And I do believe that many of us are driving around in a Dodge Dart, just adequately being a dad, but with a desire to be in the Corvette. So the question is, how do we become a Corvette dad? How do we find the keys to the vet and drive it around in style? Well, the answer is found in the scripture that we just read a moment ago. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbors, for we are all members of one body. In anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let your unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every sort of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive one another just as Christ forgave you." This passage of Scripture, this short paragraph of Scripture, holds several keys for us to live that Corvette dad, that Corvette cool kind of lifestyle. In fact, the whole Bible is filled with those keys so that we can run in an efficient and cool and exciting manner as we live our life. But I want to focus on six or seven today, just really briefly, six or seven keys to help us to be that Corvette dad. The first one is this. In verses that we read a moment ago, it's important for us as dads to tell the truth. It's important for us to tell the truth to ourselves. It's important for us to tell the truth to our family. It's important for us to tell the truth to our work and to our community and our world. It is hard to keep up with falsehoods. It is hard to keep up with veiled truths. It is hard to keep up with shell games of trying to live a different lifestyle in a different kind of way. What tends to happen when we start to guard or shade the truth is we think that we possibly might not be approved in this setting if we're completely truthful. And so we veil it a little bit and we color it a little bit and it becomes something sort of like the truth, but not quite the truth. And it's difficult to keep up with that, whether that's in the workplace or in the home place or in the school place or in a social environment, whatever it might be. The Bible tells us that we need to live in truth. And when we are living in truth, when we have flaws, when we have faults, when we have difficulties, it's important for us to be okay that we're working on stuff. It's important for us to be okay that not everything is worked out in our lives. Not everything is perfect. And it's okay for us to let our family know that truth-telling is the habit and the practice of our lives. Man, the truth of it is, our families know anyway. Because they know us better than anybody. And we can't hide the truth from our families. And the truth of it is, whether we're telling the truth completely or veiling the truth in some sort of acceptable answer, our families know the truth anyway. And so one of the keys to being a Corvette dad is to just simply tell the truth. Secondly, Paul writes to us and tells us that if we're going to be that Corvette dad driving around for everybody to see, ready to see our lifestyle. Secondly, we need to control and do away with anger. Now, guys, we all know that we have a tendency to get angry. We have a tendency to get upset when things don't go perfectly well. And we all could confess that there are those times when we say things that we regret. Somebody nod your head at me in agreement. Certainly that is true. We are all there. Why? I think that's partly because as men, that we want to be fixers. We want to be solution guys. We want to make everything right and everything work out. And when it doesn't work out, there's a tendency for us to blow a lid. Well, that's a matter, that's a quality of life that needs to be harnessed. The Bible says so right there. The Bible says that we do not need to be angry. And if we have a tendency to be that way, then we need to take steps of accountability, of responsibility, of the discipline of our life, gaining ground on the matter of anger over a period of time, allowing accountability partners, allowing the Word of God, allowing the worship of the Lord in His church, allowing truth-telling family members to help us to grow out of that tendency to anger and grow into the place where we can control that anger. One of the things that I've been saying in my own life when we get into family discussions and family conversations, and this is new to me, one of the things that I've been saying when one way or another is the way that we're going to go is to say to myself quietly, I don't have to win. I don't have to win. I don't have to win. And I'm finding that by losing, I'm winning. Somebody say amen to that? By not always being right, by not always, the amen crew right here on the front row gave me a strong, strong amen. But men, the ultimate matter is going to work out many of the times. Sometimes we as men have to take leadership. Sometimes we have to take responsibility. But there are times when we don't have to win. It doesn't matter if we go to this restaurant or this restaurant. It doesn't matter if we leave at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. It doesn't matter if the coordination of all the family events comes out this way or this. I don't have to win. And it helps to control that matter of anger and responsibility and desiring to fix problems. Do not be angry. The Bible also tells us one of the keys to driving the Corvette, to being a Corvette dad, is to work hard. But to work hard for the right reasons. I don't know too many men that don't have a good work ethic. There are a few, there are some. But those that are thriving and those that are successful understand that we wake up on Monday morning, we get to whatever it is that is paying us, and we do it with all of our energy and all of our might. In fact, that should be the testimony of our life, that we get to the workplace early, we work hard, we tell the truth, we give a good day's work to the man or to the company, whatever it is, and you know, we leave a little later and we work hard. But it's important for us to do that for the right reasons. One of the reasons why we work hard is the obvious one, and that is to provide for our families. It's a privilege to be able to work a job and take a check and distribute that to our family and distribute some of that to the Lord and distribute that to the needs as a result of work. Sometimes we have better jobs. Sometimes our jobs aren't as good. But it's our responsibility to put all of our effort into the job we have to provide for our family. That's an honorable activity of work. But the Bible also says in this passage that not only are we to provide for our families, but we are also to work to be able to be generous to other people, to be able to set aside enough money to be able to tithe to our church and to be able to give to the church so the ministry of the church can flourish and occur, so that the Lord can bless you as a result of what you've done to give to the Lord. But the generosity doesn't just stop there. The generosity stops with our time, with our talents, with our service, with our ability to be eager to help other people when they might be in distress or in a difficulty, to be able to serve our friends and our neighbors and people that might even be strangers, and be generous with our resources as we've worked hard to produce this wealth. And so if we're going to be that Corvette dad, the Bible tells us that we need to tell the truth and be in control and to work hard. But it also says that we are to build up others. Build up others, especially in our family. It's so enjoyable to watch the children's sports activities taking place and to watch Susie or Junior or Billy to get out there on the ball field as a little tyke or mid-age tyke or whatever the age, and to watch those children get out on the field of whatever sport it might be, and then run out there to play and look over that shoulder and say, "Watch me, Dad. Watch me, Dad." And to be aware of that and to be able to give encouragement and to build up and to cheer for Susie or Johnny or Billy or whoever it might be, because she is my daughter. He is my son. And be there for our children, to encourage them in sports, to encourage them in academics, to cheer for them as they find their own way in life, as they grow from your fold into their own purpose and accomplish the things that God would have for them to happen in their lives. Be a supporter and a champion for our wives. You know, after all, they married you. What were they thinking? But after all, they married you. And they love you. And they want to know that you love them. And it's important for us as men to be a builder-upper of our wives and to encourage them as we build up others, especially in our families. The Bible tells us that we are to let the Holy Spirit influence our lives. What does that mean? What does that mean to let the Holy Spirit influence our lives? Well, the first thing it means is that we need to know who the Holy Spirit is. And we know the Holy Spirit by meeting Jesus. All that we shared a moment ago, the reminder of Jesus and His life that He gave up on the cross. He took a perfect, sinless life, His own life, and He took it to the cross. And He gave up His life in a sacrificial way, so that you and I, dirty, rotten, scoundrel sinners that we are, could have a different kind of life if we would just believe in what He did for us. You see, friend, we don't deserve what He did, but He chose to make us worthy to receive this salvation in Him. And so when we say yes to Jesus, stop struggling independently, stop struggling on our own, stop trying to make it work out on our own. When we surrender to His way, the only way, and say yes to Jesus, then in that relationship to Jesus, we can begin to learn and know and listen to and hear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is basically the spiritual presence of God that dwells inside every believer. It is that little conscience. It's that little voice. It's that little guide of the Spirit that tells us to be guided into right behavior, that guards us against wrong behavior. And if we'll get in the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit. We get in the habit of taking account before we act and react. We get in the habit of hearing the Word and singing and praying and taking a note or two about how things are going on in our lives. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak to us. And He'll begin to speak in our inner man and our inner self and says, this is right behavior. The way you're treating your family, the way you're controlling your anger, the way you're working hard in the job, this is right behavior for you to do. And losing control and being independent and being developing your own resources and not the resources of God for your life, this is wrong behavior. And the Holy Spirit becomes a conscience and becomes a guide. When we open the Bible in the power of the Holy Spirit begins to make the Scriptures become real and begin to understand them. And they jump off the page and jump into our hearts and they begin to be blended into who we are. That's what it means to build up others and allow the Holy Spirit to influence our lives. The question for us here today, man or woman or teenager, have you had that permanent, once and for all relationship with Jesus Christ secured and fixed in your life? Have you come to the place in your life where you know for certain that Jesus Christ is in your life, and whether you live or die, you'll go and be with Him forever? I want to encourage you today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to understand that the power to drive the Corvette is in the relationship you found in Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide as we build up others. And then the fifth key to driving the Corvette is to simply be kind. All of this helps us to understand how to be kind, to speak a kind word, to take our time, to soften our voices, and to be the kind of Corvette dad that all of us want to be. Lastly, in the passage of Scripture at the end, it says this. It says that we are to experience forgiveness and give forgiveness as well. The truth of it is, and I'm just going to say it, men, we mess up a lot. We really do. All of us here today try hard, but we mess up. Aren't you thankful there is that matter called forgiveness? That when we make a mistake, when we lose our way, when we get off of our game, we can be forgiven. Our families eager want to restore fellowship with us when we make mistakes, when we have that contrite and broken spirit. Our Lord models that whole matter of forgiveness for us when we show our flaws, when we make mistakes, when we simply mess up. And when we receive that forgiveness from the Father, then we also must give that forgiveness to others. To receive from in me, and then give to others as well. And to practice the life that Jesus modeled when He gave us forgiveness from the cross. So, Dad, I'll just ask you today. Are you driving around in the 69 Dodge Dart with the gold shag carpet and the 3 on the tree and the laughing motor? Bumping along, just barely getting by, hoping it'll make it from stoplight to stoplight. Is that your life testimony? Do you want to drive the vet? Do you want to have a life as a father that's worth showing off? That's worth driving around the corner to find your friends and anybody who will hear the testimony of what it's like to be a Corvette dad? Well, it begins by knowing Jesus. It begins by having a personal relationship with Him. It continues by living for Him. Living for the Son, who is the Son of the Father, which is our model and our guide. I pray that every one of us today would be that Corvette dad.